It's great to share the Word of God with you. You'll have to bear with me. I was sick for the first part of this week. I stayed home a couple days. I thought I was going to lose my voice this morning, so we'll see how far I can get into this sermon before it goes out completely. Thursday night, there was a big windstorm. I'm sure you were all there. You all heard what was going on out there. It sounded like my air conditioner was going to come off the roof of my house. It was horrible, but I was sick, so I took NyQuil, and I laid down, and I was out. I was out for a good hour, maybe 2 hours, and Lori started having what I was thinking was a dream. She was saying that there was something going on outside, and that there was somebody trying to get into the house, and she was really concerned. Well, first off, our house is kind of a construction area. We're remodeling a bathroom, and there's a toilet on my back porch. And Lori kept saying, "That toilet's going to come through the window." I thought she was dreaming. I'm pretty grumpy also when I'm asleep and you wake me up. I'm a grump. Lori doesn't really like that about me because it's really frustrating to her. So I'm a grump, and I'm on NyQuil, and I'm not really awake, and she's talking about a toilet coming into the room. She's dreaming, clearly. So I start to hear things, though. Strange noises out in the backyard. And so about an hour later, I'm finally with it enough where I can actually get up and put on some clothes and go outside. And I go outside, and I'm looking around to see what these loud cracking noises were. We thought maybe a tree was falling on our house, but it wasn't a tree. It was our brand new 3-month-old fence. The wind had picked up and just blown it right over. The problem with the fence was that it's built on this really sandy soil. Well, I say soil, but there's really no soil to it. It's just sand. It's blow sand. I have no idea how deep it is there, but the posts that they put this fence up were not dug deep enough. And when the wind blew, the fence fell right over. So, I thought I would preach about it. And what I came up with was that song that we learn as kids about the wise man. The wise man built his house upon the rock. You know the song. Everybody learns the song. In one point of that song, I think the verse says something about Jesus being the rock or something like that. I'm sure those that you teach the little kids know the song better than I do. But that's true. Jesus is our rock. Jesus is the rock that we can build our lives on. He is what gives us salvation. But this nursery rhyme of a song doesn't really give us any kind of direction on how to build our lives on that rock. So if we look at the Bible and we find out and we read the verse where that song comes from, in Matthew 7, starting in verse 24. Matthew 7, 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell. And great was its fall. So, yes, the foundation that we are supposed to build on is Jesus. But in particular, it's this sermon that he talked about. Now, this sermon starts back in chapter 5, and I'm sure all of you have read this, and all of you throughout your lives have come across verses from here. But this is the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount starts out with Jesus sitting down and talking to his disciples about certain attitudes that you should have in order to be a good person, to be a Christian. These attitudes set us apart from the world. Jesus then goes on to tell us that to be separated from the world, that means that we are going to be different from the world, that we are going to be change agents in this world, that we're going to be salt and light. We're going to be something that changes the world around us. We're going to be transformative. He goes on and says, you are a transformative people. You're a light on a hill. You show people the way. But your righteousness has to be better than that of the scribes and the Pharisees. What he means is, when we are not part of this world, we have to make ourselves not be part of this world. So what the scribes would do is they would say, you can't murder. But what Jesus wanted us to do is to not be angry with our brother. The Pharisees would say, don't commit adultery. But what Christ wanted for us to do is to not lust. He said, don't take oaths. When you say yes, you mean yes, you do what you said. When you say no, you do what you mean and you don't do it. He says to not retaliate against people that harm you. The whole thing that the Pharisees did was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But what Christ wanted you to do is to love your enemies and do good things for them. He says that when we do good works for people, when we do things for the needy, we do it not to make ourselves look good, but to do good for people just because we love them. He says when we pray, we're not to pray to be seen by others, but we're to pray to our God because we love our God and we need things from our God and He is going to give them to us. Jesus tells us not to lay treasures up in heaven, not here on earth. He wants us to not be anxious for anything. He will provide everything that we ask for. And He wants us not to look down on the world, but He also wants us to know when to hold our pearls back from the swine around us. He wants us to love everyone, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Because trees are known by their fruits, and Christians are known by what they do. This is the foundation that the wise man builds his house upon. This is the foundation that is not shaken when the wind blows. Now, my fence, there was clearly something wrong with it. The posts weren't very deep. The foundations that they were, those posts were set in, were only about 6 inches thick. Those posts should have at least been 2 feet deep, 2 feet deep into the ground, and with at least 2 feet of concrete set in them. Maybe it wouldn't have blown over. Maybe it still would have. The ground is still really sandy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Corinthians were a very divided church. They were saying, they made divisions among themselves. They said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of this, I'm of that. They were very separated, and they had people that were trying to set up different foundations other than the foundation that Paul had set up. If you look at 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10, it says, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Again, the foundation that we need to be building on is Jesus Christ. But what kind of materials are we going to use? My fence, it's set in my driveway for about 5 years. It was warped, and it was dry, and it was brittle. And when that fence blew over, panels exploded. There are splinters everywhere in my yard. What are we going to build with when we build on this foundation? In verse 12, it says, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will be Each one's work will become manifest, for the day
will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of works each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only through fire.
So there's clearly a material here that we are going to be building with. But what are we building? If you look a little bit further, in 16 it says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple." So to get a little bit of clarity here, that second you in that in verse 16, it says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple?" That you there, that second you, is a plural you. If we were in Texas, I would be saying y'all. I would read it, "Do you not know that y'all are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" He is talking to the church. This church is divided. They are destroying themselves. What Paul wants is for them to have that single foundation that is Christ. What we all need is that single foundation that's Christ. What we are building on that foundation is the church. We do that by the works that we do. If you turn back over to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, starting verse 13. Says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." When we're building on the foundation, we are doing good works to bring people to Christ. You know, we've all been saved by the gospel, but that, and we're on that foundation. We have that foundation, but we have to be productive. We have to build this church. And we build that, we build this church with people and by doing things for people. If we take a look at Matthew 13, this is the parable of the sower. Basically, a farmer goes out into a field and he plants some seeds. Some of those seeds land on the hard-packed dirt, and birds came and ate the seeds. This is people that hear but do not understand the word that you're teaching. Seeds, then, the farmer goes out and plants some more seeds, and those seeds fall on rocky ground. Those seeds germinate and they spring up quickly, but the hot sun comes out and they wither and they die off. This is the person that hears the word and responds, but quickly falls away. Then some seeds, they fall into a bed that has some weeds. They both sprout up together, and the weeds choke out the good seed. This is the person that accepts the word, but it grows up with the weeds around it. This is the person that accepts the word, and the cares of the world drag them away and to their destruction. Seed also falls on good soil. Good soil that produces a bunch of fruit. This is the person that hears and understands and actually does something with what they've heard. You know, we often focus on this guy that bears the fruit in this parable. But this parable isn't just about that guy. It's about those other three. Those other three that couldn't understand the word or wouldn't understand the word and change their lives and become productive. We take a look at Matthew 13, starting in verse 14. Matthew 13, starting in verse 13. It says, "This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed,
In their case, the prophet Isaiah is fulfilled and says, "You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For people's hearts has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them."
Jesus is saying here, it's prophesied that people are not necessarily going to listen to us. They're not necessarily going to listen to Jesus even. This does not negate our responsibility to them. We still must work as Christians. We still must be productive. We still have to get out there and sow the seed.
That means when judgment comes and we're building this church on the foundation of Christ and the fire comes, some of the work that we've done may be burned up. There may be judgment against some of the people that we try to bring into us. But if that happens, we're still okay. We're still on that foundation. But if it doesn't happen, if those people are the gold and the silver and the jewels, we will be rewarded for that. That is what the Bible says. That is what is promised to us. Turn with me to Ephesians 4.
You know, another problem with my fence is we hired a guy to put it up, and he wasn't showing up, so we had to fire him. So that fence, it wasn't finished. It only went partway across the area, and it didn't have the structural stability that it would have had if it connected all the way across. So this fence clearly wasn't full grown. It was it had a bad foundation. It was built on the sand. It was kind of a messed up fence. Let's take a look at Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in the manner worthy of your calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the hope that belongs to you, to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of you according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to measure of stature in the fullness of Christ, so that when we are no longer children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceitful scheming, rather, speaking truth in love, we are to grow up in every way to him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. That is the foundation that we've been talking about. And because this church is in that foundation, that one foundation, Christ has given them gifts. Gifts of abilities that can be used to grow that church. He gave some to be teachers and preachers and prophets and shepherds. There is work to do for each of us. There is something that we can do to help this body grow, to build on the foundation that we have been given, to make us a better church, to make us
what Christ wants. To make us fully grown and able to stand up against storms and against horrible things that might happen. Horrible things that to some people could tear apart a congregation. What we have to do is be grown up together, to be one, to be loving and speak truth to one another. Well, my fence clearly had a lot of problems. Built in the sand, inadequate foundation. As soon as that wind blew, that thing fell over. No support. Is that you? Where is your foundation? Where is your hope? Are you standing in sand? Or are you full grown and helping this body become what it needs to be for Christ? If you aren't the latter, we can help you do that. That's our job. That's our job as the church, is to help each other grow into what we need to be. If you aren't baptized, it's pretty simple. You aren't saved. When that fire comes along and destroys what is built on this foundation, or tests, rather, what is built on this foundation, you will be burned up like chaff. We don't want that for you. We want you to be part of our number. We want to be a complete body, fully grown and mature, able to be exactly what Christ wants. If you wish to be baptized, or if you wish to have the prayers of the congregation or any kind of help whatsoever, please come forward as we stand and sing.